And we're holding Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if a person says, Harini Nazir Mehachadsan, if a person says that I'll be a Nazir from grape seeds, which are one of the things that are also to a Nazir. So he didn't mention the rest of the things, only grape seeds, Umina Zagim, or grape peels, Umina Tegwachas, or only from shaving, Umina Tomo, or only from becoming Tame. Harei a Nazir, then he becomes a full Nazir of Chodik Yukin Nazirus Olav, and all the details of Nazirus are on him. In other words, even though he only said that he planned, even though he only said that he plans to be also in one of these things, nevertheless, because he mentioned one of the things that a Nazir is also in, then therefore he's also in all of them, because he said the word Nazir. Of course, if he had said just a neder that I won't eat grapes, for example, then that's fine. That's a neder. But when he says the word Nazir and he mentions one of these things that that a Nazir is in fact also in, then he becomes also in all of them. In the next parak, we're going to talk about what happens, for example, if he were to say the word Nazir on something which a Nazir is not also in. We're going to talk about, for example, he says, I need a Nazir, and a grogris, and a dvela. Suppose he says, I'll be a Nazir from figs or from dates. Would that make him a Nazir, given, of course, the regular Nazir is not also in figs and dates? So we'll get to that later. But here, we're talking about, he mentioned one of the things that a Nazir is, in fact, chayiv in, is, in fact, also in, and therefore he becomes a full Nazir. And all the dikduk and Nazirus, all of all the details of Nazirus are on him. Before we talk about the reason why it has to say that last words, once we say Arei Zeh Nazir, of course we know all the dinim of Nazirus are on him, because in the next couple of Mishnayos, we're going to talk about a special kind of Nazirus called Nazirus Shimshon, where a person is allowed, where we're going to end up saying that a person is allowed to become Tomei Nes. So therefore, we need to stress now that this Nazirus that he accepted on himself is not that, since he didn't say it's a Nazirus Shimshon. So the Gemara says, Masnissin Deloiket of Shimon. Now, our Mishnah, then, seems to be not like Reb Shimon. The Tanya Reb Shimon, Oma Ein Chayev, Reb Shimon would say that he is not, in fact, Chayev in Nazirus, at least not to all the degrees. Maybe he'd be Chayev in the individual thing he mentioned, but Reb Shimon says, Ad Sheyidur Mikulam, unless he makes a neder from all of them. Now, Reb Shimon will agree, of course, a person says, if I'm a Nazir, he doesn't have to list them all out. But Reb Shimon is saying, if a person is going to be listing them out, then he would have to list all of them out. Rabbanan Amri, whereas the Chachamim say, as we said in our Mishnah, Afilu a Nazir ela b'chad min hoin, even if he made the Neder of Nazirus with only one of them, having Nazir, nevertheless, he's considered a full Nazir as far as all the dinim of Nazirus. So the Gemara says, my time is Reb Shimon. So why does Reb Shimon say that if he's going to be listing things out, he has to list all of them? And if not, then he can be a Nazir only from that one particular detail. So Reb Shimon says, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Mikol Asher Ya'asim Gefen Ayayin. The Pasuk says, anything that's made from the grapevine. Mechatsanim Vadzog, from seeds until peels. Actually, we're going to learn in the Masechta later on that there's Machlokes Tanoim, whether chatsanim are the seeds or the peel, and whether zog is the peel or the seeds, whatever. In other words, there are two different tanoim. One says chatsanim is the seeds, and zog is the peel. The other says the other way around, but whatever. The point is, in other words, the pasuk mentions both those things, and it says mikoil from all of them. So therefore, Reb Shimon is saying that it has to be from all of them, and so therefore, if you listed out only some of them, then he'd be also, at most, only in those things. Now, the Pasuk is only mentioning as far as the Isurim of grapes. Tosfos points out, okay, once we see in the Pasuk that it's telling us, according to Reb Shimon, that he has to accept all of them, then all the Isurim of grapes, then we understand the same kind of thing is true as far as Tiglachas, as far as shaving, and as far as Torah. So it doesn't need to list those out individually in the Pasuk. We understand that once the Pasuk is telling us that's how it has to be with the Isurim of grapes, then that's how it is with all the other Isurim of the Nazir as well. The Rosh says differently. He says the vote is that since the Pasuk has these extra words in it, Mechatsanim Vadzog, once it's said already that you can't eat anything that comes from a grapevine, why does it need to list Chatsanim and Zog? So that Shimon holds then that you have to actually be Nozer, you have to actually make the Neder of Nazirus from all of them. Okay, that's Reb Shimon. Rabbanon. Meanwhile, what do the Chachamim say? My time. Why do they say that it's enough that a person accepted one of them and automatically he becomes chayav in all of them? They say Omakro miyayin v'shecher yazir, because the pasuk says from wine and from strong wine shecher. So in later Lashon Kodesh, shecher came to mean beer, but by nazir we're going to see soon. A nazir is allowed to drink beer. It's only wine that he's unless it's great beer, of course. So we're going to see soon about that. So therefore, by nazir and in general in the Torah terminology, the word shecher means strong wine, as opposed to yayin would be weak wine or maybe even grape juice. Anyway, so the pasuk says miyayin v'shecher yazir, he should be a nazir from wine and strong wine. So therefore, even if he said only one of those things, and the Chachamim are saying, evidently that's enough. That's enough for him to be a nazir. Because after all, again, the Chachamim are saying, it already says, Mikol Asher Ya'asu Migefen HaYayin, whatever is made from grapes, so why would it need to say Miyayin V'Shecher? So therefore, again, even if he only mentioned one of them, then he becomes a nazir from all of them. So you can want to ask Reb Shimon, Nami Yafsid V'Yayin V'Shecher Yazir. Okay, so according to Reb Shimon, what are we doing with those words, V'Yayin V'Shecher Yazir? The answer is, Ahumi Boilei, Reb Shimon would say that those you need, lesser Yein Mitzvah, Kiyein HaRashustman, to tell us that wine of Mitzvah is just as osir as wine of Rishus, of optional. So in other words, that a person who accepts on himself in the Zirus is going to be also to drink wine of mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Maihi Kiddush of Abdalta. So what is that? We're talking about, apparently, Kiddush, and what would be wine of a mitzvah? Would be wine of Kiddush and wine of Abdalta. The question is, have a Mushbava Oymid all of my house Sinai? Isn't he already besworn on that from house Sinai? Now you have actually two major ways that we've shown you to talk about how these lines of the Gemara can be learned. The Mefarish over here says, and the Rambam writes to a Talmud of his, for example, that apparently understood it this way also, that the Gemara is saying that the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah, in fact, on the face of it, the neder of Nezirus cannot be chal on it. Because the neder of Nezirus should not be able to be chal on top of it, and therefore, how could he, given that he has to drink the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah, then how would he be able to become a nazir? Wouldn't the fact that he's already mushba v'oymed on that, wouldn't that override that? And then the Mefarish goes on to add over here that it's one thing, for example, let's say, now we did learn a number of times in Nedarim that a neder can override a mitzvah, but that would be, for example, we learned a number of times in Nedarim the concept, Ein machilon sa'adam davar ha'asu lo'y, even if you have something that objectively a person ought to be chayav in, you can't force him to enjoy something which is also to him. We gave the example, for example, a woman with making a neder about tashmish with her husband, even though she's meshubad to him for it. If she says hana of tashmish with you is also to me, then that effectively makes it that she's not going to be able to, because otherwise it would be making her have a hana that she otherwise can't have. So the Mefarish says over here in the same vein. If a person were to say a koinam, a neder, that I won't sit in a sukkah, you're right, that wouldn't count. But if you were to say the hana of a sukkah is also to me, then he, as a practical matter, he'd be also in a sukkah, because then you can't force him to eat something, to enjoy something which is also to him. So applying that to over here also then. So if we assume that he's chayav in Kiddush and Havdalah, and those have to be on wine, so then how could his nezirus take effect? So that would be the question. What do you mean? Reb Shimon would say lesser yein mitzvah to yein harushus. Wouldn't the result be that if he's going to become a nazir, would actually mean he, on the face of it, he should be mutter in those things? However, Tosfos discusses that and says that no. Yeah, you can't understand it like that. But Rambam also in his Teshuva discusses like that and says that no, that's not what the Gemara means. Rather the question, Tosfos understands this as a rhetorical question, bitmiya. You're telling me that yein mitzvah is also ki yein harashus. The question is, why do you even need to say that? What do we mean by yein mitzvah? We mean kiddush and havdalah. Hare mushba v'omid olam mahar sinai. Is he in fact mushba and it's mahar sinai? He is not. Because at most, the whole, even if we say that kiddush is daraisa, the concept of making it on wine and is only dirabbanan, and the same thing with havdalah. The Gemara tells us in brachas that with havdalah, in fact, in different generations, the chachamim went back and forth on it. First, they said that you have to make havdalah only in davening. You say atachon antonu. Then they made you have to make kiddush. Havdalah on a cup of wine. Then when the Jewish people were poor again, then they said that from now on you have to do both. You have to say atachon antonu and you have to make kiddush, etc. So certainly havdalah is only dirabbanan. And certainly having wine for it is only dirabbanan. And by kiddush also, after all, we know there was a concept of making kiddush on bread. So therefore, Tosfos understands the Gemara's question as a rhetorical question. Why would Reb Shimon even need a pasuk to tell us that a nazir is not allowed to drink wine of mitzvah? He's not mushba v'omid mehar Sinai in it. He's not besworn from Har Sinai to drink this wine, because the whole thing is only dirabbanan. And the Rambam in the Struva explains the same way. He goes into a long arichos explaining the whole flow of the Gemara over here in order to make and makes it clear that in general with dinim derabbanon we don't say mushba v'omim mahar Sinai. That concept only applies to things daraisa. And the Gemara is establishing over here that kiddush and havdalah, the wine for them is in fact only derabbanon. So again, according to the Mefarish, then the Gemara was saying that how could he be also in wine of Kiddush and Havdalah? And according to Tosfos and the Rambam, the question is the opposite. Why would we even think that he should be mutter in it? That we should say that we need a pasuk, the pasuk Yain Reshecho Yazu, according to Reb Shimon, to tell us that he should be mutter in it. So the Gemara continues. Okay, Ela ki hoda Omar Rav. Rather, the answer would be like what Rava says. The reason we're according to Reb Shimon, why you'd need the pasuk Yain v'sheicha yazir, where again Reb Shimon wants to be able to say that from his pasuk mechatzanim v'adzog, that a person can be a nazir from only one of the things of nazirus and not from all of them. So what is Reb Shimon doing with this pasuk? He'll understand it to be teaching us what Rava says. Kihadu amar Rava shvua she'eshte. Suppose a person says a shvua that I will drink wine, v'chazu amar ha'udin nazir, and then after that he says that I will be a nazir. The result is asya nazirus chayla al shvua. The nazirus will come and override his shvua, because his shvua is not something that he's mushba v'omid mehar Sinai, because he only made the shvua now. So what we're saying is, so now the pasuk is telling us you shouldn't think, though, having made a shvua, that he's going to drink wine, therefore that blocks his nazirus from taking effect. His nazirus does take effect, and that's what Reb Shimon says. That's what we learn from Yain v'Sheicho Yazu. So now when we say according to the Mefarish also, so now the Gemara is giving a different answer for what we mean by Yain mitzvah ki Yain harashus. When Reb Shimon is saying that a nazir is in fact going to be usur in wine of mitzvah, we don't mean, the Mefarish says, we don't mean wine of kiddush and havdalah. That apparently he would actually be allowed to drink because he is mushba v'omim mahar Sinai. But rather, a case would be where he says, a shvua that I will drink, where now he has a mitzvah to fulfill his shvua and drink. So now, though, what we're saying is that if now he makes a neder of nazirus, that will override that shvua, and the result is he's kind of in trouble no matter what he does. If he drinks wine, then he's over on his nazirus, and if he doesn't drink wine, he's over on his shvua. But the point is that his nazirus will be able to be chal in that case. According to Tosfos, again, that the question was not. That he should be mutter in kiddush and havdalah in the first place. The question was, on the contrary, what would make us even think that he was mutter in it? Then the answer is, forget about kiddush and havdalah. What we mean is that if he made a shvua, then in fact his nazirus is able to be chal on top of that. This is the thing. So the Mefarish learns that he is Mushkov Mahar Sinai as far as Kiddush. So either that means the Mefarish would hold that a person can be said to be Mushba v'Omim Mahar Sinai even under Rabbanan, or there are Acharonim who learn the Mefarish to be saying that that maybe he holds that in fact wine of Kiddush and wine of Havdalah are maybe actually Daraisa. Tosfos says though that that no, that can't possibly be for one thing, yeah, because you can make Kiddush on Kala, yeah. And Bechlal Medaraisa, you may be Yotze Kiddush even without anything at all, even without wine or, no, not just if you hear Kiddush from somebody, you certainly don't have to drink, that's fine. Their drinking counts for you, but the point is, for example, we know Yom Kippur night, when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, we say Vayecholu, and we Yotze Kiddush on a Daraisa level that way, even though we're not making it with wine or bread or anything. It's a special case, but nevertheless, it shows that Daraisa, that is enough. It's only Dirabbanan that you need to do it a la kos. There is an interesting thing I once came across, I don't remember the mocker of it, that, like this. Excuse me. Now, if you said by Chulu and Shul, then to that extent, you've been Yotze Kiddush on a Daraisa level. Now, when you come home to make Kiddush for your wife and kids, then how are you going to be Motzi them? Maybe they're still Chayav Daraisa, and you only Chayav Dirabbanan at this point. It's a big question whether women are Chayav Kiddush Daraisa. On the one hand, it's a mitzvah sasa shazman grama. On the other hand, they are chayiv in the loisah says of Shabbos. So they actually say that when you come home, you say to your wife, good Shabbos. And she responds, good Shabbos. That means that in the most minimal way, she has expressed the kedusha of Shabbos verbally. Now, when you say kiddush, now when you say vayichulu, then you're both only chayiv derabbanan and therefore you're good.
Let's say you have a father who's sick in his home.
Obviously, if you have a man who's home and he can't daven and shul, then yeah, you could be motzi him he's definitely chayiv daraisa. Right?
How's that work? If you said about kol and shul, huh?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so that's Rav Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Rabbanim nami homi boiler lesser yay mitzvah ki yay reshus." No, don't chachamim need to learn that point also. So if they're not learning it from the yayin b'sheicho yazir, then what are they learning it from? They say, fine, but in that case, the pasuk could have just said from wine. My b'shecho, why does it also add shecho, which means strong wine? Sham hinotauti, therefore you can learn both. Number one, that if a person makes nazirus only from wine, then he's a nazir. And number two, that he's also in wine of mitzvah, just like wine of reshus, which again, and we ended up saying, means that if he had made a shvur to drink wine, then now his nazirus is able to be chal on top of that. And now, if he drinks that wine, he will be chayav malchus for being over on the isurim of a nazir, even though previously he had already made a mitzvah for himself to drink that wine.
So he made the condition when he was a nazir.
Forget condition. No, before he ever became a nazir, he made at one point he had said a shvur that I will drink wine. Now later on he became. Later on he said he became a nazir.
Right.
So now the result is he can't drink wine. So now no matter what he does, he's in trouble. If he drinks the wine, then he's over on the Yisurim of a nazir and is getting malchus for that. And if he doesn't drink it, then
it's expensive.
Korbanos and nazir only brings it if he becomes tummy. Oh. If a nazir drinks wine, we're going to talk about later on in the sechta. There can be a scenario where a nazir ignores the restrictions of nazirus for a certain amount of time. Midrabanan we make him keep extra days to make up for those days. We're not talking about that, though. The point is, the time he brings Karbonis is only if he becomes Tomei during his Naziris.
And you don't bring Karbonis.
Yeah. But Nazir Tahor eventually brings Karbonis. Fine. But anyway, the point is, so if he doesn't drink the wine, he's over on his Shavua, and if he drinks the wine, he's over on his Naziris. So the point is, the Chachamim are saying we're learning that from the two words, Miyayin Vishachar. So from one of them, we learn that a person can be noiser from only one of them, and from the other one, we're learning that that wine of mitzvah is also awesome to him. Rav Shimon, so what does Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, no, Hainu Taimu, because of Shecher. No, Rav Shimon would say, the reason why it says Shecher, and you, Chachamim, are telling me that you want to learn a second din from it, the real reason is that it says Shecher is not for a din that we need as far as a nazir, but rather, La'alufi Shecher Shecher L'mikdash, to use it as the basis for Gzeira Shava on the word Shecher, which we're going to use as far as the dinim of the Koyanim serving in the Bais Mikdash. Dichtiv, where they also you have a pasuk Yain v'Sheicher Alteish. Hashem tells Aaron, you and your sons, Yain v'Sheicher Alteish Ato v'Necha Itach, you and your sons with you, any Kohenim, are not allowed to drink wine or Sheicher before you go in to do the Avodah. So the Gzeir Shavah, Rav Shimon is saying, ma gabi nazir, just like by a nazir, yayin hu delitzar, it's only wine that he's also in, avashan mashkin loy, other alcoholic drinks he's not also in. A nazir is not actually also in beer or mashka or what have you. So the same thing as far as the Mishnah, only wine is also to him, but other things that make him drunk or that make him a little bit high are not actually also. A Kohen technically would be able to, we're not talking about where he's drunk, you know, and like staggering around or whatever. Of course, it wouldn't be b'kavadik for him to serve in the Beis Mikdash. But keep in mind, for example, a kohen is also to serve in the Beis Mikdash, even if he only had a revius of wine. The point, which is very little, it's only 3 or 4 ounces. So the point is that if he were to drink 3 or 4 ounces of beer or whatever, then he wouldn't be also to do the avodah.
What's the reason that for wine or beer?
So the reason why wine, and ultimately it's Gzeiras HaKasev. I guess the short answer is because Torah al-Roy for Dabra, the Torah talks about the typical case, strong alcoholic drinks like mashke or whatever they didn't even have in those times. They only developed them within about the last 1500 years. Beer goes back to ancient times, but I guess the point would be that in Eretz Yisrael, at least it was very uncommon. There were countries, they found, for example, in archaeological digs and whatnot, they found that in Mitzrayim, for example, beer was a very common drink, much more so than wine. But in Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Chito, sort of a Geffen, apparently wine was much more common, and therefore, so the Torah puts that off limits.
Yeah, you have to drink much more to get there.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, olapuki midrav Yehuda. The point Reb Shimon is going to say is that the pasuk is telling you with this zereshava, not like Reb Yehuda. The Tanya, Reb Yehuda, ochal dvela keilus. Suppose that a person ate a fig from keila. Keila is a city in Eretz Yisrael. It's mentioned in Sefer Shmuel in one of the stories with David HaMelech during the time when he was running away from Shaul. Anyway, the figs from that place were very, very juicy, and apparently they would ferment a little bit. Wow, you have things that have sugar in them. The sugar can ferment. That's what happens when you make alcoholic drinks. Yeast break down the sugar to create alcohol. So you can have such a thing can happen naturally in certain kinds of fruits as well. They're so juicy and full of sugar and moist and whatever that they can start fermenting. So apparently we're talking about that. If you just leave them out too long, yeah. So like some of the sugar in them starts getting converted to alcohol. So you, and b'chlal, maybe the point is that these fruits are so sweet, you'd get like a sugar rush from them, you'd get like a sugar high. Anyway, the point is, suppose a person ate a fig from Keila, the shosa dvash, or for example, he drank honey, well not literally honey, but dvash would mean fermented honey, like med. Again, you can make alcoholic drinks out of almost any kind of sweet fruit. So it used to be more common. Maybe you can find it in stores still now. I don't know. Med or mead, which is an alcoholic drink made from honey. Anyway, suppose a person drank that. V'cholav, or suppose a person drank milk and now also he's like feeling a little buzzed. So first of all, milk can make a person sleepy. We know by Yoel and Sisera, for example, she gave him milk to make him sleepy. But again, we might also conceivably be talking about where the milk has started to go a little bit off, where again, some of the sugar in it has started to convert to alcohol. Whatever the case, all of those were nichnas from mikdash. If now a koyin goes into the Beis Mikdash, so Rabbi Yehuda says chayev. So he would be chayev the various consequences that a koyin would for going in to the Beis Mikdash while he's drunk. So we see that. What? Not Chorus, but Mrs. B'dei Shemayim. So his avodah would be possible. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that not only wine, but other kinds of alcoholic things or other kinds of things that would give a person a buzz like that also. So now Rabbi Shimon is saying, no, that's what the Zera Shava is coming to tell us. A nazir, it's clear, is allowed to drink those things because the Pasuk only said that he's not allowed to drink things made from grapes. So therefore, Rav Shimon says that's the purpose of the word b'shecher by the nazir, not to teach us a new din by the nazir, but to teach us a gzeira shava that will apply to a kohen in the business English. So all of that is one answer. Therefore, so that establishes then what Rav Shimon is going to do with the chachamim's pasuk. So again, Rav Shimon says then that I don't have a pasuk available to teach us that if a person becomes a nazir from only one thing, that he should be also in all of them. No, Reb Shimon says if he makes a nazir, if he declares a nazirus from only one of those things, then in fact he's also, at most, he's also only in that one thing, but not in all of them.
What does the word lalufa mean? That's
lalufa means to teach. To teach Gzeir Shalom.
Okay, the question is, lalufa is...
Lalufa, sheikha l'mikdash, to teach Gzeir Shalom, that will apply for this. Okay, the Gemara says, Yiboy Seima, another answer, you could say, Reb Shimon less like Isu Chalal Isu. You can say that Reb Shimon in general does not hold of the concept of Isu Chalal Isu. So in other words, in general, Reb Shimon would say that if you have something which is already Osir, then it can't become more Osir. So therefore, that would be another answer. Reb Shimon would say, why do you need the pasuk over here? Miyayin the Sheikh Yazir. Suppose, for example, before we talk about a person made a shavua that he will drink wine. Now, what about the other way around? What if a person made a shavua that he won't drink wine? So fine, that's a given. Everybody's going to agree he's not a nazir. He's just also to drink wine. Now, if he goes and makes a neder of nazirus, is he going to get double malchus for that? Because he was over on his shavua and because he was over on his nazirus.
He said
before, I'm making a shavua that I won't drink wine.
I won't drink wine.
He becomes a nazir. So in addition, he's also to drink wine, but not based on a shavua, but rather based on his neder of nazirus.
And then he drinks.
So now he's going to be chayav double malchus. So Reb Shimon would usually say that ein isur chalal isur. But now he would say the pasuk miyayin b'sheikh yazir actually teaches us that no, in fact, he will be chayav double malchus.
So one yisur doesn't fall in this, and therefore he should be patur.
So not he should be patur, but maybe at most he should be chayav. At most he should be chayav one malchus, right?
And what does it mean? What does it mean?
Ein isur chalal isur means exactly that. But once you have something which is already osur, it can't become more osur. Like this, we learned about it in Yevamos extensively, for example. We talk about isur kolol, isur moisif, isur basachas, that whole kind of thing. So let's take a simple case. I mean the Gemara is going to give us now an example. Suppose a person eats nevela on Yom Kippur. Now, nevela is also all year round. Comes Yom Kippur, you have an isur to eat anything. Would we say isur halal isur, and therefore he's getting double malchus, one for eating nevela and one for eating on Yom Kippur? Reb Shimon is going to say that no. So now the point is, over here, the pasuk miyayin b'sheikh yazir, Reb Shimon is going to say, is teaching us that in fact this case he does in fact get double malchus.
Extra words.
From the extra words, right.
Is there any source in Torah that says that there's no chal isur or chalal isur?
So in Yevamos, we had a long thing about that it wasn't actually that Reb Shimon said that isur is never chalal isur. He just very sharply restricts when it can be. The Chachamim against Reb Shimon are going to say there are several different cases where one Isser can be chal on another. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of most of those cases. In fact, the Rosh says like this. Precisely since the Pasuk is saying over here, Miyayim L'Sheikh Yazir, so Reb Shimon is saying that means that applies only in this one case. Only in the case of a nazir do we say that isur chalal isur. We wouldn't say that in other cases. And then in that case, the Rosh asks on that question. There seems to be a different pasuk that we learn that from. There is elsewhere. There's a pasuk that Reb Shimon learns that concept from. Anyway, so the Tanya, Reb Shimon, Omer Ha'uchon Nevela B'Yem HaKippurim, Reb Shimon would say that if a person eats Nevela on Yom Kippur, Potter, then he's Potter for eating on Yom Kippur, because again, in Isu Chalal Isu, he's only going to get Malchus for the eating the Nevela. In this connection, you know, you have the famous story involving Reb Avner, the Talmud of the Ramban, where we all know the famous story that this Avner eventually was a Talmud of the Ramban, and then eventually went off the Derech and became a very high ranking minister in the government, and a high ranking Galach, whatever it was anyway. And one day, one Yom Kippur, he orders the Ramban, his former Rebbe, to come to him, and he takes a chazir, kills it, and then cooks it and eats it and whatever, and with chaylev and all. And then afterwards, he says to the Ramban, so how many Yisurim was I over on? and the Ramban tells him four, and Avner says, no, five, and the Ramban gives him a look, and he had at least a little, derech eretz to not talk back to the Ramban, so he was quiet, and then the Ramban asks him, what happened to you? Had to go off so far off. And Avner says, because you taught us that in Hazinu, you have a remez to everything that's ever going to happen to the Jewish people, and I couldn't understand how it is, and I figured if that's not true, then who knows if everything else you're teaching me is true as well. One second. So then the Ramban says, right, that is, it is true. So Avner says, fine, where's the remez in Hazinu to me? And the Ramban goes to the corner and davens for a minute, so that the Eibishter should help him. Then he comes back and tells Avner, you have the pasuk Amarti Af Ehem Ashbisa Me'en Noish Zichram, where the third letter of each of those words spells out Reb Avner. And it means the pasuk is saying, Hashem said, I'll scatter them, I'll make their memories cease from among people. And the Ramban says that pasuk is referring to you. This is what Hashem is saying. This is your fate. And the guy does Truvan, and the guy does Truvan on the spot. So in the end, the Ramban says that what it is he tells him, your fellow Galochim, or whatever it is, have actually had it in for you. They're planning soon to get you out of your position and destroy you. Now do Truvah. So the upshot of it is he goes on a boat. He goes on a boat to get away from there, to go to someplace safe, and he was never heard from again. So his memory was gone because he disappeared, but he did Truvah, is the point. The Rebbe actually wants to talk about in the Sicha and mention, you know, you see in the Rosh HaTevis, you have even not just the Rosh HaTevis of Avner, you have the Rosh HaTevis of Reb Avner showing that all along the Ibishta knew that he has it in him to do Tshuva. Anyway, the point is that yes, so in that story you have this guy and the Ramban arguing about Issu Chalal Issu, because that was essentially the question. It's a Chazir, it was Yom Kippur, there was Chalev, there was, you don't know, whatever exactly there was over there, and how many of these Issurim are able to be Chalal on one another? For example, a chazer itself is also to eat, but it's Mutter Bahana, but then let's say you cook it Basar B'Chalav, now it becomes also Bahana. So, and then you have Yom Kippur. I don't remember what all these sort of were, because Chalev and Gid Anosha don't apply to a straight animal, but whatever. The point is that he was able to, the point is that he claimed that there are five, and
I'm surprised the Galachim love to have a Yid who becomes a Galachim, they hold them.
Yeah, but still, they still had it secretly in for him. Alright, whatever, anyway, that's not the time to talk about that story in great detail, but anyway. The point is that so Reb Shimon is saying that in Isur Chalal Isur, except in we learned in Yuvamis only in certain very limited circumstances. So he holds these are not among them. So he would say therefore we need a special pasuk to tell us that in the case of Nazir, in fact he is going to be high of double malchus. Again, he had made a shvur not to drink wine, and now he made a neder of nazirus that he also, which also includes that he won't drink wine. Now if he drinks wine, he's over on both of those things. So we've given two explanations what Reb Shimon is going to do with the Chachamim's pasuk. Either that it means that it's chal on wine of mitzvah like wine of rishus, which we ended up saying means if he said a shvur that he will drink wine, or that he's chayiv. We said also that he's using the word sheikhar, in fact, not to teach us what the chachamim are saying, that he can't use the word yain the sheikhar to teach us about what the chachamim would say. We learn that from the word yain the sheikhar, because he says we need the word sheikhar for gzeirah shavah. And then we have another answer again, is that Reb Shimon is saying that he's learning from these words, miyayin b'sheicher, that in fact he's also, that isur chal al isur, if he's doubly also in this wine, he will get double malchus. Now, going back to the Chachamim, what are the Chachamim doing with Reb Shimon's pasuk, anything that comes out of a grapevine, which is where Reb Shimon is learning that, and since it says mecharzanim vadzog, so therefore we learn from that that it means that even if he's only that if he makes a neder from only one of those things, he's chayiv only in that one thing and not the rest of them. So the answer is amilach rabbanim. Chacham will answer you. Hosam limit of isurim nazir shmitzarfim zamzeh. That teaches us that the isurim of a nazir combine with one another to make up the kazayis. What happens, for example, if a nazir were to eat half a kazayis of grape seeds and half a kazayis of grape peels, would he be chayiv malchus? The Chacham is saying, yes, that's what we learn from this pasuk. Otherwise, we would think he has to eat a full kazayis of one of the individual things that he's also in.
the house of everybody by saying what?
Because it said, because the pasuk said, "Mikol asher yosim gefen ayayin mechad sanim badzog lo yochol." So it means that all of them combined. Reb Shimon, so what would Reb Shimon answer for that? Well, he would say, let's play Tzibur, because as a matter of fact, Reb Shimon would say, he doesn't hold with the skirt, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that things combine together. Because in fact, Reb Shimon says, the Tanya, Reb Shimon Omer, kol shehu l'makas, when a person eats something which is also and which is chayiv malchus, if he eats any amount of it, even far less than a kazayas, he's already chayiv malchus. Lo yomer kazayas el inyan korban, the whole concept of a kazayas, Reb Shimon says, is only as far as bringing a korban. So Reb Shimon would say, for example, that if a person were to eat half a kazayas of chaylev, or half a kazayas of blood, or half a kazayas of any of the things that are also, he would already be chayiv malchus. When would be a case where he has to bring a korban? Would be only if he eats a full kazayas. Now, in the case of a nazir, that's not relevant, because the korbanos that a nazir is bringing have nothing to do with him drinking wine. After he brings the korbanos, he can drink wine, but like we were saying before, he doesn't bring korbanos if he drank wine. The only case where he brings korbanos is where he became tameh. Other than that, he just brings korbanos at the end of his nazirus. So therefore, the fact that he's bringing the korbanos has nothing to do with him being over on the issue of drinking wine. So therefore, Sir Reb Shimon would say that in the case of a nazir, you don't need siddur. So therefore, you don't need a pasuk to teach us that things will combine, because according to Reb Shimon, you don't need to. He's anyway, he eats any amount of grape seeds or grape peels or any of these things, he's already going to be chayav malchus.
But also hold you get malchus for less than...
No, that's the thing. Chum hold only if you eat a kazayas.
Oh,
yeah.
So they learn out differently?
Yeah, they learn out differently, yeah. Okay.
The Gemara doesn't speak about that.
Here, the Gemara is not speaking about that. And at the beginning of the eighth parak of the beginning of the eighth parak of Yoma, there's a discussion over there about Chatzi Shir, whether it's also in our Torah or not. And then this comes up over there and in other places. Okay. Mishnah says, suppose a person makes the neder of Nazirus, Hareni Kishimshon. He says, I will be like Shimshon. Or he says, Keven Manoyach. I'll be like the son of Manoyach. Kabal Delilah, or he says like the husband of Delilah, or Kamisha Oko Dalsis Aza, like the one who ripped out the doors of Aza. You have a story in the whole story of Shimshon over there. You have a story where one time he came to the city of Aza, which was a major Plishti city in those times, the city of Gaza. Then as now, it wasn't really a very good place for Jews, but anyway. So at one point, they thought they had him trapped inside the city. The pasuk says in the middle of the night, he got up and ripped the gates of the city off their hinges and carried them all the way to Hebron. So, which is quite a distance from Aza.
What was the meaning to carry
them? The point was, in other words, to scare them, so they shouldn't think that they can get him. He would scare them, and this way also they'll leave the Yidden alone. They'll leave the Yidden alone, knowing that at any time he could strike. You have to look at, in the whole story of Shimshon over there, I mean, we could go in Barichos, but we don't really have the time. But in the whole story of Shimshon, you have over and over what he tries to do is to, and he's trying to blend in among the Plishtim, make it look like he's one of them, and then when he attacks them, they don't trace it back to the Yidden. They think Stam and the Shugano of ours, who's attacking us. And the idea is, as much as possible, to make them fear, to make them fear him, and then by extent, knowing that at any time he could strike, so therefore they're going to go easy on the Jews, because they never know.
But they're not connected to
him. No, but they know he comes from Jews. They know he comes from Jews. So to that extent, they know, in other words, that they can't hold the Jews responsible for him, because he's living among them, among the Plishtim. But at least they know, in other words, that, like this, they shouldn't start up with him, and then by extension, they shouldn't start up with Jews, because he might show up. Anyway, so that's Kamisha Oker Dalsis Aza, or Kamisha Nikru Plishtimus Einav, or if he says, I'll be a Nazir, or no, he didn't say I'll be a Nazir, they'll said, I'll be like the one whom the Plishtim put out his eyes, which eventually later on in the story they did. We have the famous Mishnah in Sota that says that Shimshon followed his eyes, and therefore the Plishtim ended up putting out his eyes. Early in the story, he says to his parents, he sees a certain Plishti girl and wants to marry her. That Amram explains, of course, he was Magaya, but still, it didn't look good. And Shimshon tells his parents, Kihi Yoshra Be'enai, she seems good in my eyes. And then, therefore, so like to a certain extent, he followed his eyes, and then, therefore, he was punished eventually that the Plishtim put out his eyes. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Harid is a Nazir Shimshon. With all of those declarations, he becomes a Nazir Shimshon, and we're going to discuss soon what a Nazir Shimshon is. So the Gemara says
she was the one who got him into trouble.
Delilah was the one who got him into trouble. She's the one who betrayed him to the Plishtim. Yeah.
That's the same one.
That's it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Lomali, yeah, that's the thing. So you have he married Delilah, whether she was a Plishti girl who also he converted like the first one, or whether she was a born Jewish woman, we don't know. The Pasuk doesn't say one way or the other. But whatever the case, the Plishtim came and offered her money to betray Shimshon in secret, and she eventually wormed it out of him, and then the Plishtim were able to arrest him, and then she shaved his hair, and then he lost his strength, and the Plishtim were able to arrest him. So the Gemara asks, Lomali the Misni Kol Holin, why does the Mishnah need to list all of these details? And the answer is Tzichi. We need all of them. If he just says, I will be like Shimshon, Havamina Shimshon Achrini. It could mean like any Shimshon. There's lots of people named Shimshon. Kamash Malon to Ben Manoyach. Therefore, the Mishnah also mentions if he says, like the son of Manoyach. Which, in fact, Tosfos says that if he were to say only Shimshon or only Ben Manoyach itself, the tackle wouldn't be enough. Because, yeah, there are many Shimshons out there, and there's many Ben Manoyachs out there. So it would have to be, in other words, Tosfos learned, it would have to be, he'd have to say Shimshon Ben Manoyach and mention one of the other things in the Mishnah. So, for example, if you were to say Shimshon Ben Manoyach, who was the husband of Delilah, then that tells us that we mean Shimshon, the Shimshon from Tanakh, as opposed to if he were to say Shimshon ben Manoyach, then arguably it could conceivably mean some other Shimshon. Or he would at least have the right to tell us that I didn't mean that Nazirus, I just meant some other fellow that I know whose name is Shimshon ben Manoyach. So the Etonic to Ben Manoyach, and if you only said to Ben Manoyach, same thing. There are people who are called the son of Manoyach. So therefore it mentions those details. So Tosfos is saying it would have to be that he mentions several of these things. He'd have to mention Kishimshin Ben Manoyach, who did such and such. And for example, you could also have, let's say he could say Kishimshin, the husband of Delilah. That might also work. Assuming there's nobody else. I mean, maybe nowadays in modern Israel they revive a lot of names from Tanakh of not necessarily such great people. So you probably have individuals over there named Delilah nowadays. I have no idea. So in that case, that might not work. But whatever. The point is, you go according to Lashon Bnei Adam as usual. So the point is, then he becomes a Nazir Shimshon, which we're going to describe now. What's special about a Nazir Shimshon? So the Mishnah says, Ma be Nazir Olam and Nazir Shimshon. What is the actual difference between a Nazir Olam and a Nazir Shimshon? Now, a Nazir Olam, we haven't even defined yet. So the Gemara is going to explain. We have a Chesurim Maser over here. The Mishnah is missing words. But what is the difference? The difference is, a Nazir Olam, now you have like this, basically. There are three kinds of Nazir. A regular Nazir is a person says that I will be a Nazir, and it's for the minimum is 30 days, the maximum is however he wants. Now, a person, for example, could say, I'll be a Nazir for 1,000 years. Now, he's not going to live 1,000 years. That what it means is, though, his Nazirus lasts as long as he's alive then. Now, you can have a person who takes multiple terms of Nazirus on himself one after the other. We're going to have examples of that in our Masechet. You can have, for example, a person says, I'll be a Nazir twice in succession. So then, fine, each one is twice in succession. So let's say, for example, so he'll be a Nazir for the entire month of Shvat and also for the entire month of Adar. So fine, so for the entire month of Shvat he's a Nazir. At the end of Shvat, he brings his korbanos and shaves his hair, and then he starts his second Nazirus and then does for the whole Adar. So he could say a Nazirus for 2 months, and it would be one single Nazirus, but he could break it up into groups of 30 days if he wants, or whatever. He could break it up into groups of 40 days, he could break it, whatever. Now, a Nazir Olam is, he says, I will be a Nazir forever. Which means, so now, as we're going to say in the Gemara, what happens is then that unlike the one who said, let's say I'm a Nazir for 1,000 years, he, every so often, does cut his hair and bring his korbanos. In effect, a Nazir Olam is almost as if he said that I will be a Nazir for periods of 12 months at a time. So the same way, in other words, if a person were to explicitly say, I will be a Nazir for 12 months, and then again, I will be a Nazir for 12 months, then he'd bring his korbanos and shave his hair at the end of each 12 months. The same way when he says a Nazir Olam, though he didn't spell that out, nevertheless, that is what he does. We're going to talk about in the Gemara, we'll talk about mostly tomorrow in the Gemara, the details about a Nazir Olam, what he does with that. But the point is that he has all the regular dinim of Nazirus, so just his Nazirus is in effect broken up into chunks of time like that. A Nazir Shimshon, as we're going to go on to say, is a special kind of thing. He never cuts his hair. We see that Shimshon never did until Delilah did it for him. So that's what we're going to describe now in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. So ma ben nozer olmu nozer shimshin. So what's the difference between them? Both of them are nozer for the rest of their lives. The difference is nozer olam hichbid saare meko batar. The difference is a nozer olam when his hair gets heavy, and we're going to see in the Gemara eventually how long that is. Meko batar, then he can ease it off with a razor. Now Tosfos learns that it doesn't mean that he shaves completely like the way a regular nozer does. All it means is he cuts his hair. And Tosfos points out, we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, that the prototype in history of a Nozer Olam is Avshalom, the son of David. So the Pasuk mentions that when and we see that at the end, when he fought against David and he got stuck in a tree over there, he got caught by his hair. So we see if he had shaved his hair, then it wouldn't have been long enough for him to get cut in a tree. Evidently caught in a tree, so evidently it must be that he only cut it partially. So that's what Tosfos says. On the other hand, the Rambam learns that it means that he shaves regularly like a regular nozzle would. The Rambam, I guess, would have to understand that this story with Avshalom happened shortly before it was his time for his next haircut.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, so he does that. Well, maybe Shalosh Behemoth, and he brings the three animals as a korban, just like any nozzle when he successfully finishes his nizus. The nikma, maybe korban tumah, and if a nozzle olam becomes tummy, then he brings a korban tumah again like any regular nozzle. On the other hand, Nozer Shimshin, Hichbid Sa'ore Enim Mekel. A Nozer Shimshin, even if his hair is heavy, he can't ease it off. He can't cut any of his hair, just like a regular Nozer can. Vim Nitma, any maybe Korban Tumah. If he becomes Tumah, he does not bring a Korban Tumah, as we'll see in the Gemara, why not? So the Gemara asks, first of all, Nozer Olam, Man Bechar Shmei. Who said anything about a Nozer Olam that the Mishnah is asking what's the difference between him and a Nozer Shimshin? And the answer is Suri Mechser. The Mishnah is missing words. Bahachi Katani, it means like this. Ha'omer Ha'oni Nozer Olam. A person says, I will be a Nozer forever. Ha'ri's a Nozer. Then he's a Nozer, and Agos Habah adds the word Olam. So yeah, he'll be a Nozer Olam. And then, now that we establish that, now a Nozer Olam on the face of it is a Nozer for the rest of his life. And a Nozer Shimshin is also a Nozer for the rest of his life. So what's the difference? Mabe, Nozer Olam, the Nozer Shimshin, the difference is Nozer Olam, Pichbit Sore Nekel Batar, is that every so often he cuts or shaves his hair, or maybe Sholosh Behemoth, and he brings his three animals as a korban. Tosfos points out, by the way, that it's a halachal emotion is seen out that way. We have an asmachta for it again with Avshalom, where he says to David at one point when he's ready to start his rebellion, he obviously doesn't want to tell David, he makes an excuse that he wants to go to Hebron to bring his korbanos. Avshalom nedorai, I will pay my nedorim. What nedorim is that he was a nazir, and therefore every so often he has to bring his korbanos. This is before the Beis Hamikdash was built. You could bring korbanos anywhere, and therefore he's saying that he wants to bring them in Hebron, and David accepted that excuse, not realizing that he's really going over there in order to start his rebellion. Anyway, we'll talk about it more in the Gemara and Dafei. Anyway, the Nitma, maybe Korban Tumah, and again, Nozer Olam, if it becomes Tomei, brings a Korban Tumah, Nozer Shimshin, Hichbet Sora, Enimekel Batar. On the other hand, Nozer Shimshin does not cut his hair ever, the maybe Korban Tumah, and does not bring a Korban Tumah. So that's what the mission is.
Even if he
can become, so that's what we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. So the question is, Korban Hudalai Maisi, you're telling me that a Nozer Shimshin, if he becomes Tomei, does not bring a Korban. The implication is, though, that Nezirus is actually able to be chal on him, which would mean then the Nozir is not allowed to become Tomei Mes. Well, the problem with that is, Mani must nisin, then in that case, who is on Mishnah life? Lord of Yehuda, Lord of Shimon. Then it comes out, all Mishnah is neither like Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Shimon, and they're the only two Tanoim who we know address this. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Nozir Shimshin, mutterly Tamil Mason. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Nozir Shimshin is actually allowed to become Tomei Mes. Not just that if he became Tomei, he doesn't bring the korbanos. Lachatchila, he's allowed to become Tomei.
We're going to learn
later on, yeah. Shekein Matsina B'Shimshin Shenitma. After all, we find that Shimshin became Tomei Mes. He killed Plishtim many times during his career. So he had to become Tomei Mes. Now, the Gemara at the bottom of the Omud is going to talk about, and we'll probably learn it tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that how we know, in fact, that he actually became Tomei by killing them. Maybe he killed them from a distance or something. We'll deal with that later on in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we know Shimshin became Tomei. Therefore, obviously, a Nozer Shimshin is allowed to, anybody in the future who makes a Nezirus like that is allowed to become Tomei. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, continues the Braisa, On the other hand, Rav Shimon says, as a person says, I'll be a Nozer Shimshin, he actually didn't say anything. It doesn't count as a Nezirus at all. Shaloi Matsina B'Shimshin Shiyotzis Nezirus Mipiv. After all, we never find that Shimshin himself said, I will be a Nozer. The Malach said before he was born that he should be a Nozer. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, that if a person is going to make a neder of nezirus, it has to be the dover hanodru. We learned about this in Nedarim a lot, that when you're, if you're going to be matfis, if you're going to say this thing should be like that thing, then the that thing has to be something that can be, that can get its kedusha through a neder, and a nozer shimshin, Reb Shimon is saying, cannot. So therefore he says that if a person were to say, I'm a nozer shimshin, it wouldn't count for anything. So now the question is, mani, so who is our Mishnah like? So who is our Mishnah like? Either Yehuda ha'amar after l'chatzchila, or according to the Yehuda, Nozer Shimshin would be allowed to become Tomei l'chatzchila, or must nisit tami im nitma. The Mishnah says, if he becomes Tomei, which implies that l'chatzchila he shouldn't, but the Yevid he did, then this is what happens. And according to Reb Shimon, Nezirus doesn't come on him at all. So therefore, so who is our Mishnah like? The answer is la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. We could after all say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, but I did the Katonic Gam in Nozer Olam im Nitma. Since by Nozer Olam it says if he becomes Tomei, and there it has to say that Nozer Olam is not allowed to become Tomei, just like any regular Nozer. So it has to say if he became Tomei, then he brings the Korbanos Tumah. So therefore, Tonanami Gam in Nozer Shimshin im Nitma. So therefore, it uses the same expression by Nozer Shimshin, even though in fact Nozer Shimshin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is allowed to become Tomei even like a filler. So our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yehuda. So Nezirus Shimshin does exist. A person can become a Nozer Shimshin, but it's a special kind of Nezirus where he is allowed to become Tomei.
We'll learn about later.
So the Gemara says, Lema b'plukta dehani tamiri kan b'chagi. Well, would we have to say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing, are following the machlokas of the following Tanoi? The Tanan, or the Tanya, really, it's a Braisa. We learned in a Braisa. We learned about this in Nedarim as well. Now we learned, again, we have the concept of atfasa, where if a person wants to say, for example, this bread should be also to me as a koinam, one way of doing it is to say, for example, this bread should be like this meat. But it has to be. We established over there that the meet has to be something that is dover hanod. If you were to say, for example, this bread should be like the chazir flesh, nothing would happen because chazir flesh is not a dover hanodr. So now the Braisa says over there, harei alai to b'chur. Suppose he says that this meat, that this bread should be to me like a b'chur, a b'chur behemah tahara. Rabbi Yaakov oisiv, Rabbi Yosi matir. Rabbi Yaakov says that that would result in an isur. So now the bread is going to be osir, and Rabbi Yosi says it's mutter because that wouldn't constitute a neder. So my lab. So shouldn't we say Rabbi Yehuda Savalok Rabbi Yaakov? So Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a nazir, that there's such a thing as a nazir shimshin, would hold like Rabbi Yaakov to amal loyber in a davar hanidur, where Rabbi Yaakov says that you don't need a davar hanidur, you don't need. So it would be fine to be matzvis with a b'chor, even though a b'chor doesn't get its kedusha from a neder, but rather it's born that way with kedusha. So therefore, by the same token, Rabbi Yehuda would say that even though shimshin was born with his nezirus, nevertheless you can be matzvis in it. Rav Shimon, Savalok Rav Yosi, Dabrin and Davra Nidir. Rav Shimon, meanwhile, would hold like Rav Yosi, who says you do need Davra Nidir. So according to him, a Bechor doesn't help, because it doesn't work, because it's not Davra Nidir. And the same way, Shimshin is not a Davra Nidir. He never made the Nidir of Nazir. Because a Bechor is born that way. As soon as a Bechor, Behemoth Tahara, is born, it automatically has Kedusha. Yeah. So the answer is loy, not necessarily. Dekula arba b'in and Davra Nidir. We could say everybody agrees that when you're making a Nidir, you need a Davra Nidir. The shiny gabba b'chor, dichtibbe la'ashem, l'rabbis gab'chor. The difference would be, Rabbi Yaakov would say that by a b'chor is different because you have the word la'ashem, because you have the word la'ashem in connection with a b'chor, or in connection with a neder, ishki yidr, neder la'ashem, at the beginning of Parashas Matos, then therefore that teaches us l'rabbis is a b'chor. That word comes to include a b'chor, even though it's already Kaddish la'ashem. That it should be possible to match this in it. So it would be an exception. Right. So in other words, the point is, Rabbi Yaakov would agree, for example, you can't be match this, let's say, in Chazer Flesh, but he would hold a Bechor is different because of the word Lashem. Rabbi Yosi Amalach, whereas Rabbi Yosi would answer to you, Ahu Lashem, Yibarle L'Rabbis Chattis V'Oshem. No, Rabbi Yosi would say that the word Lashem comes to include that you could be match this using a Chattis or an Oshem. In other words, you would figure without that, you would say an olo a shlomim maybe you can voluntarily give an olo a shlomim. So therefore, sure, davar anodu, but a chatas or an oshem, you can't voluntarily bring a chatas or an oshem. Maybe you shouldn't be able to be matched this in those. No, the word lashem comes to include those. So umara isal rabas chatas for oshem alahotzias b'chor. So what makes you say that you should include chatas and oshem and take out b'chor? Marbani chatas v'oshem. The answer is we're going to include chatas and oshem shekein makfis and menedu. Because you can be matfis them with a neder, meaning, in other words, it's true, you can't voluntarily bring a hatas or an asham. But what makes this particular animal a hatas or an asham? You said, you're chayiv hatas, and you said, I'm designating this animal for my hatas. Same thing with an asham. So therefore, there's enough that you gave it kedusha for it to be considered to that extent, davar hanadu. As opposed to a b'chor, you don't even do that. A b'chor is born, and automatically it's kaddish, so therefore there's more reason to exclude that.
Unless it's not a kasha
behemah. No, not kasha behemah is a different matter. A petar chamur has kedusha only until you poide it, and then it loses its kedusha altogether. But yeah. But even so, I mean, when it's born, it still has kedusha, yeah. Okay. So Rav Yaakov Amalach, what is Rav Yaakov going to answer to that? He's going to say, B'chor nami matvis b'neder. The fact is, a b'chor also is something that can be matvis b'neder. In the sense, the Tanya, we learn in a b'raisa, shall base Rabbeinu Amru, people from the household of Rabbeinu, which probably means Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So they said, how do we know that if a person had a b'chur born in his flock, a mitzvah all of lakdish, right? That there's a mitzvah for him to be makdish, to verbally say this is kaddish as a b'chur, even though automatically it is anyway. Shenema hazachar kaddish, because the pasuk says the males, you should be makdish. So even though they're already kaddish as it, when they're born, nevertheless, you still have a mitzvah to be makdish. So therefore, Yaakov says that's reason enough for it to be considered davar hanadar, and therefore you can be matzis with it. Rabbi Yossi, meanwhile, is going to answer you back. Nihi de mitzvah lakdisha. Sure, okay, I agree. There's a mitzvah to say hareza kodesh. Eloi makdish le miloi kodesh. But if you don't say that, does it not become kodesh? Of course it does. It becomes kodesh, whether you say anything or not. So therefore, b'chor cannot be considered a davar hanadar, says Rabbi Yossi. There are achronim, by the way, who talk about a point that maybe the vort is, in other words, that a b'chor might be considered, a b'chor is fundamentally, in a certain sense, a type of shlomim. You eat the meat of it in much the same way as you do a shlomim for 2 days and one night. It belongs to the kohen. And you have actually, there's a machlokas, the shama, the silo, whether the kohen is allowed to give meat from it to other people. The halacha is like the silo, that a kohen is allowed, once already it's brought as a korban, then the kohenim are allowed to give it, so are allowed to give the meat to anybody. Yeah, I believe so. In any case, I mean, we do say in morning davening, I'm a kohen nachal a kohen. What that means, in other words, I think, is that the kohenim are the ones who get the meat. But then I think, if I remember correctly, I know with the b'chor ba'al mum, the halacha is that they're allowed to give to anybody. I believe also with the b'chor that's brought as a korban, but I don't remember actually. Whatever the case, the point is, but in a certain sense, it's like a subspecies of shlomi. As opposed to, for example, we talked about in the Dorim, let's say a person were to be matfis in Yerushalayim, where that wouldn't necessarily count, because Yerushalayim is not a species of korban at all. But to the extent that it means, we said because Yerushalayim is repaired from the Turmas HaLishka, and therefore it can be considered in a very vague sense of davar hanadar, but in other words, there's a difference between something which is a korban, which is like a subspecies of another type of korban. Fine. So the point is, so far, what we've said is that both Rabbi Yehuda and so we don't necessarily say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing within the argument of Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi. Maybe in fact they all hold you need davar hanadar. So the difference is whether a b'chor is a davar hanadar. The question is going to be now, which we'll take up tomorrow, Matzah Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, is that. We have a word lashem by a nazir as well. So according to Rabbi Shimon, why can you not be matfis in nazirus shimshin if the same way as we're saying according to Rabbi Yaakov, you can be matfis in a b'chor because of the word lashem? Then why by nazirus shimshin should you not be able to do the same thing? Worth mentioning, by the way, I mean, we'll talk about nazirus shimshin in more detail. There was an interesting sikha where the Rebbe analyzes Taka on what grounds was shimshin a nazir. It's true. It was only given by the Malach. How did he ever become a nazir at all? A number of the Mephoshim say that maybe when he was born, his father declared him a nazir. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta. The father has the right to declare his son a nazir. It's Allah from Moshe Mishinai. The fact is that we don't really find any such thing anywhere in a pasuk that Manoach did that. Maybe he did, but it doesn't say any place. So the Rebbe actually talks about, ends up saying, that what it is since it's al derech, like the way you have, that a kid can be nisgayer, and then when they're 12 or 13, they have the option to continue accepting it, or to revert to being a goy. In the same way, they raised Shimshon as a Nazir. When he's 12 or 13, he has the option to reject it because it was never imposed on him officially by his father or by anybody, just by the Malach, but he chose to continue with the dinim of a Nazir, knowing that this is what the Eved planned for him, and therefore retroactively it makes that his Nazirus all along was as a result of that, similar to a Ger, similar to Ger Asher, Sheikh Bilo Aldas based him. But anyway, we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll talk in more detail about Nezivos Shimshin and all of these related things.